There's something that calls us from our core. I think that if we follow it and we have enough time or we have some quiet time where we can pursue that, when we find it, we know it. This must have been a promise that I made on the other side, that I wanted to help people get past their hard times with something like Reiki. So when I saw it, I don't think there's been anything else in my life that's called me. So nothing is as dire as you think it is in the moment. That too shall pass. And then those hard things end up being the things that teach us the most. I think the main point is be nice to yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Where you are in your process is exactly where you're supposed to be. But from that muddy water, we are still that beautiful lotus flower. You know, our happiness is our responsibility. And so if a Reiki session is gonna help you, you know, let go of some of that stuff to get you to the place where you're living that life of whatever it is you want, and I can assist you, to me it's a privilege. We're all made of love, and I think that, you know, if we're struggling, we're not loving ourselves. So find that thing that's gonna remind you that, you know, we're all made in the image of God, and you should love yourself. It's very important.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for another episode of the Heart to Core channel, a platform where we really dig into the heart space, step into the core to really experience our true potential. Today we have Rachel Diaz. Rachel, if you'd like to introduce yourself and pretty much let us know who you are and what you do.
Hi, my name's Rachel Diaz. I am a Reiki master. I've been doing Reiki for 13 years. Little background, born and raised in Los Angeles, moved up to the Santa Barbara area about 4.5 years ago, and I have two children, two adult children, and a granddaughter in the form of a kitty, and a grandson in the form of a rabbit, and I'm happy to be here with you today. So I'm a Reiki master. Reiki is a form of energy healing. It's a rubbing of my hands and being able to generate, high amounts of energy that pushes out things we have going on in our body, stuck energy in our bodies. Sometimes our chakras are closed and we just don't feel right. It's very non-invasive. It's very comfortable. A lot of people fall asleep. You're fully clothed when it happens, and just super relaxing, and provides healing at an emotional level, at a spiritual level. And when those two things happen, usually the physical lets go. So if you're suffering from any kind of pain or something, oftentimes it's released. So Be the Lotus was actually a thought that my niece had. You know, lotus flower grows in dirty, ugly, muddy water, and it's this beautiful flower that comes out. So it's literally a metaphor for all of us. We all have our stuff. We all have our challenges that we went through, you know, bad things in life that happened, and just, you know, maybe times where we thought we weren't our best. But from that muddy water, we are still that beautiful lotus flower waiting to come up at any time. So that's why I chose the name Be the Lotus.
Describe that moment of realization when you really said to yourself, this is what I want to do. I want to be of service to the human world and bring healing to the world. And also, what were the steps that you took to really step into that position of the healing arts?
Yeah. You know, I'm a believer that we come here to do something. And I had never heard of Reiki. I didn't know anything about it. And a friend of mine had taken me to this workshop, and it was a spiritual workshop that this lady would have every week at her house. She was a channeler. But one day that I went to this workshop, there was a woman there who was very sick. She had like 32 tumors all around her body, and she and her husband were there, and they were telling us all the medical things and how it had a very low rate of getting healed. And, you know, she was just desperate, looking for anything, was in a very negative place. And so in that meeting, there was probably about 15 to 18 people there, and many of them were Reiki trained. And they put the sick woman in the center, and they just started working on her. And they said, anybody who's not Reiki trained, you know, just hold good intentions, hold your hands out. And they had to say like a mantra. It was like, every day and every way, I'm getting better and better and better. I saw that lady go from like a very heavy energy, frowny faced, burdened by her diagnosis and her prognosis, to literally like start laughing and releasing that. And I was like, what the heck is this Reiki stuff, right? And so I just like knew in my core, like, I need to learn how to do this. I just need to. And so I started looking for a teacher. And it was very interesting because I couldn't find a teacher. People were telling me, oh, this person teaches Reiki, that person teaches Reiki. And I would call them and they wouldn't return my call. And like a month had gone by and these people weren't returning my calls. And I was like, what's going on? So as part of my monthly care back then, I used to go to a massage therapist every month. And I was telling her while I was on the table, she was working on me, I told her about this Reiki experience and how I was looking for a teacher. And she says, oh, I'm a Reiki master. I've been giving it to you in your massages these past 10 years you've been coming to me. So boom, like it was right there. You know, I found my teacher and I signed up for the class, and she trained me. And then immediately the next day I had a situation come up at my home where we had a rabbit and he had dislocated his leg. He had a bone jutting out of his fur. He had gotten something stuck around his foot and he was pulling on it. And so I literally got Reiki trained on Sunday, and this happened Monday. And I said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I worked on the rabbit, and he stopped and he hopped away for a second and came back, and he had popped that bone back into his hip. And I worked on him some more, and then my daughter was distraught because this was her baby. And so after I worked on him, I worked on her, and just the calmness that came over us. And so he had an appointment at the vet the next day, and she's like, he's fine. I told her what I had done, and she's like, he's fine. And I mean, we had that rabbit for 11 years. So at that point, we had him for another 5 or 6 years, perfectly fine. So interesting, but it all, when I saw it, I knew I had to do it, and then the teacher showed up, and then the opportunity to use it showed up.
So Reiki not only works on humans, but also it can be very beneficial for animals as well.
So it can work on situations, works great on animals, on children, works on anything. I was traveling with some coworkers, and I had a coworker that we were going out of the country, and he said, well, be prepared to wait because I always get stopped by TSA. Always, always. He was a big guy, like over 6 feet, you know, kind of thick, maybe 260, you know, 270, completely shaved head. So he, you know, he looked kind of mean. And he's like, I always get stopped. And I said, you are not going to get stopped. So he's like, I always get stopped. I said, you're not going to get stopped. So we bet $5. And during that trip, we went through 4 different airports, you know, 2 going there and 2 coming back. Didn't get stopped at all. He paid me my $5.
Wow.
I mean, it literally can work on anything.
Especially when it comes to difficulties, right?
Yeah.
Difficulties, different scenarios, emotional distress, or even stressing about whether it be a test or, you know, whatever the case may be.
When we're trained, I mean, it's like, well, you know, it could work on even like machinery or you know, like, I mean, literally anything, of just getting that flow and having that intention of wanting a certain outcome. Most people, we live our lives just kind of going through it, and oh, that happened, that happened, and we forget to set intentions. They're powerful, and they make things go a certain way. And just the, you know, as a side note, this trip we took was probably about 6 years ago, and I'm still in touch with that coworker. And when he travels, still doesn't have any problems, never gets stopped anymore.
It's almost that concept of, you know, being in smooth sail always. Yeah, things will get turbulent along the way, but when that happens, when there's a sense of turbulency, you know, just perform a bit of Reiki and just to set that intention to smoothing out those turbulent waters.
And his experience has been changed. Yeah. You know, like he had that, I always get stopped. Oh, TSA, rah, 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 you know? And then when he didn't get stopped four times being with me, he was like, oh my gosh. So now he has the expectation of not getting stopped anymore.
So it also changes people's perspectives and attitudes.
Exactly, exactly.
So it's also practice, right? So not only can I say come to you and you work on me to heal any, you know, whether it be emotional distress, a physical accident, whatever the case may be, but also it can change my attitude for me to have, be more optimistic versus pessimistic in any level of scenario in life.
And I just want to say something about what you just said.
Yes.
I don't claim to heal anything. I am a vehicle that pushes energy through, and it really is between the client and whatever your higher power is that you're willing to let go. You know, and I mean, I believe it's the same way with any kind of sickness. You know, they've done studies before where it's like when you don't feel well and you call the doctor and make an appointment, they start to see that there have been studies that show you start to feel better once you made that doctor's appointment. You haven't even gone there yet. But as a child, you knew like, oh, I'm going to the doctor. He's going to make me better. And so it's very similar to that. I don't claim to heal anything. I am just a vehicle to help you get and let go of things that no longer serve you.
And you're that conduit to perform that level of service
and
servitude to humanity.
I mean, absolutely.
That's why you know, we're definitely all just conduits, vehicles, and we're the platform for change as well. So there's this notion, Rachel, of what you're seeking is seeking you as well. And sometimes it's right in front of our face. In your case, you're seeking for a Reiki master teacher to help you learn Reiki. And it was, again, it was right in front of you. You know, it was, what is it? Who was it? Your masseuse therapist that was, that was a practitioner already. And the person was already performing Reiki on you through your massage therapy. So can you maybe explore that notion again, what you're seeking is seeking you, or it's already there, and how can we say shift our perspective to just realize that level of moment?
Well, I think in my case, you know, getting a massage was something that would just was good for my overall well-being. You know, it was just an hour a month that I would take out for myself, and it was just wonderful. And so for me, I didn't know that she was doing that. And for us, we call it a Reiki master because there's three levels of Reiki. And when you get to level three, which is mastership level, that means you're able to teach it. That's why we use the word master.
Got it.
But when you're level one or yet level two, you're just a practitioner. So maybe when I saw it being performed on that woman who was sick with all those tumors, maybe there was some sort of familiarity to me. I don't know what it was, but when I saw it, I didn't know what it was. I knew nothing about it. I had never heard of it. But from what I understand, it's very similar to like Jesus and Mary in the Bible of laying on of hands. Mm-hmm. And it was just so familiar. And it was like, it was nothing in my brain. It was here in my gut that just said, you have to learn how to do this. You must learn how. Like, I was so called to it that even when certain obstructions came up, like not being able to find a teacher, I just kept asking more people, more, even in my massage, of saying, hey Casey, I saw this thing, like do you know like anybody who teaches Reiki? And it was like it was perfect. So I think when we're open and we're looking for something else, there's something that calls us from our core. I think that if we follow it and we have enough time or we have some quiet time where we can pursue that, when we find it, we know it.
There's this deep resonance that you're kind of called in to either
right.
study it, research it, and eventually practice it.
My beliefs from the spiritual teachers that I follow, and they're all over the board from, you know, Catholic school, 12 years, Buddhism, Hinduism, just New Age kind of stuff. I mean, I think one of the things that really resonates with me is that I feel that we're all spiritual beings and we come here, we're born into this earth to experience certain things. Sometimes it's heartache, sometimes it's, you know, I mean, there's tough things that happen in our life, but there was an agreement on the other side before we came here that we wanted to experience that. Mm-hmm. And then also that we wanted to contribute. And there's people that just that come into this world and they just want to experience. Not everybody has to be a healer. Not everybody has to be this person that, you know, sometimes it's just to be a great auto mechanic or be a great massage therapist or have this little restaurant and that you serve all these people. It's whatever you chose to come here. So I think that as we, when we get here and then life gets a hold of us, right, our parents, our siblings, our schools, our culture, our religion, everything about us, we start to forget the promises we made before we came here. So I feel like when I saw that, this must have been a promise that I made on the other side, that I wanted to help people get past their hard times with something like Reiki. So when I saw it, I can't describe it. I don't think there's been anything else in my life that's called me. Yeah.
So speaking of anyone who's going through, say, a challenge, whether it's a heartbreak, a loss of any sorts, some sort of awakening, or any level of obstacles, right? What do you recommend to them, to the common person experiencing that? What do you recommend for them to sort of take the first steps, first initial steps to begin the process of, one, navigating through that difficult scenario, two, allowing, just kind of surrendering and allowing the life to unfold for themselves?
Yeah.
Or really, you know, what is it, the first step, you know, engaging in a bit of Reiki to kind of smoothen out their pain?
Yeah, like doing something like Reiki or sound healing or any kind of energy work that can push out that negativity and the sad feeling. And sometimes we need to feel sad. If we felt happy all the time, we wouldn't know the difference. But to minimize it and not have you go down like a bad rabbit hole, you know. And so there is, you know, something like Reiki or finding what calls to you. You know, for some people, it's working out. For some people, it's running, you know. I mean, believe it or not, in my youth, I used to, you know, run, and just running a couple miles, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. Like, I would stop running and I would feel like I just want to run again. You know, you felt good. I think our natural state is to feel good.
Yeah.
And when we're not feeling good, it's normally because we're in our head, we're in our ego. For me, it was like, oh, you know, this marriage ended and, you know, or it didn't go the way I thought. And, you know, there was just expectations. And I was very, very sad. And like, I thought, oh, my life was over. And now being on the other side of it, I would say to anybody having a challenge, I love the Buddhist teaching of this too shall pass. Happiness passes and then sadness passes. And it's a constant evolution. And if you ride that wave, you know, I have to say that divorce I thought was the worst thing in my life. And at that time it was. But now I have to say that it was the best thing in my life. It's allowed me to flourish and blossom and do this and be my own person without having to, you know, not that it's anyone else's fault, but I'm just saying that when you come out of the other side, it's fantastic. So nothing is as dire as you think it is in the moment.
Yeah, interesting, yeah.
that too shall pass. And then those hard things end up being the things that teach us the most.
Let's talk about, again, someone who's type A, very goal-oriented. Yeah, they do work out, wake up early, they're hit every, you know, task item. And then it's really probably too stuck in their head. And, you know, I suffer from that as well every once in a while, where we're just like always aiming for perfection. Mm-hmm. How important is it to just kind of surrender and say, you know what, this is, I'm just going to be happy with the results that I'm providing and putting out there, and just say surrender? And what are the best practices to really get grounded in that moment of surrender and not always be action-oriented? Although I do think that being action-oriented is very important, but sometimes mm-hmm. we have to go with the ebb and flow of life.
I think that everybody is on their own personal journey, and they are where they are. I was that type A person. When my kids were small, I'd get up at 5 a.m. and exercise. Sometimes I'd wake up at 2 or 3 a.m. and I couldn't sleep because I had work responsibility, I had kid responsibility, I had home responsibilities, and I would get up and do laundry at 2 a.m. or write a list of all the things. I was very list oriented and I was very unhappy. You know, forget it. It was a house of cards. One thing went wrong on that list and it was like everything else. But I had to go through that to be at the point I am now, you know, some 30 years later or 25 years later of like, yeah, being surrendering is a lot easier for me now. So that's the first thing, is that, you know, be gentle with yourself, love yourself, that where you are is where you are. And if you're that type A personality, when you're ready not to be that way anymore, then you'll move on to the next thing. And I think the main thing is that you do things that work for you. You know, like back then I mentioned, you know, I used to run, and I'd get up and I'd do, I mean, 80s, 90s, it was Jane Fonda. You'd get up and you'd do, you know, exercise and stuff. And then, you know, later on I got to the point and I was like, gosh, I hate running. Why am I running? So I stopped running and I took up just walking and seeing my neighborhoods. I've been lucky to live in really nice neighborhoods, and you know, I like plants and flowers and stuff like that, and it enabled me. But the point is to do what works for you. If it's a hard workout that gets you from overthinking things, that's a form of meditation. For me, I grew up with music in my house. My aunt and my uncle lived across the street. My aunt played the piano beautifully. And my uncle was a mariachi. Mm. And they would come over for dinner and my mom would sing and my uncle's playing and my aunt's on the piano. Or even now, I mean, if I'm sad or something, put a little David Bowie on and I just the sound of his voice, I start. So do whatever works for you. I think the main thing is being gentle with yourself and knowing that life is an experience, it's a process, and wherever you are is exactly where you're supposed to be. And as you get older, you start to find like, oh, if I wouldn't have done that, or if I wouldn't have learned how to do that, I wouldn't be here. You're a perfect example of that. All your years of editing and production, and like, here we are doing it in this format to help other people understand that there's more out there to help you energy-wise so that you don't have to suffer. We weren't brought here to suffer. That's something that's kind of man-made here. And if we get out of our heads, whether it's running or, you know, martial arts or, you know, whatever, I mean, as long as it's not something that's going to hurt you, like, you know, over drinking or, you know, drug use or just, you know, gambling, something like that, that, you know, it's not really going to help you get quiet and listen to those things that you made that promise about, that we talked about before, that you came here to do, then it's all good. You know, there's people I know, they don't like yoga. Oh, it's too slow. That's okay. Don't do yoga. You want to go do Zumba? Hey, power to you. I think the main point is be nice to yourself. Mm. Be gentle with yourself. Where you are in your process is exactly where you're supposed to be.
Reiki is a healing modality. Mm-hmm. Right. So for someone, again, who hasn't come across Reiki just yet, or really for the common person who is looking to do some at-home self-care, what would you recommend? What's the most basic form of self-care modality that will be beneficial for someone, again, either going through a breakdown or simply just wants to improve their overall well-being?
Yeah.
What would you recommend? And then again, and then allow them to eventually say find a healing modality that can be practiced by a practitioner for them. But for at-home self-care, what would you recommend?
For at-home, I would say grounding yourself is so important. I mean, it happens to all of us, you know. I mean, we have our seven chakra system, and sometimes, oftentimes, they get closed up. I used to work in an office, and there was like eight of us in there, all of us with two screens, laptop. Each of us had two phones, our work phone, our private phone, and there was just all this electronics. And sometimes I'd be so busy that I wouldn't go to lunch. And I would just, by 3 o'clock, I was just like, you know, I was just ready to bust. And so just going outside, we had trees in our parking lot. I would just lean up against a tree, ground myself, right? I mean, if you have a backyard, go outside barefoot, you know, or in the dirt, in the grass, go to the ocean, walk in the water. Even putting your hands on a plant or a tree, it makes a difference. Even fresh air. Energy is just, it goes out kind of far. And if you're picking up traffic energies, if you're in a car or whatever, just having that fresh air, it can make all the difference in the world. You have a argument with your spouse or something, just go outside for 5 minutes or open your door, let some fresh air, go and talk about it outside. It's going to be different outside than it is if you're cooped up and this energy is just stuck there. And then there's other simple things like, you know, saging. You can, I have some crystals in front of my TV that are good for stopping that electromagnetic, you know, stuff that comes out. That's what this thing is here too. It helps, you know, with all the Wi-Fi that's around. This is supposed to block it so that it's not affecting my energy system. So, but mainly grounding, you know, feet in the grass, feet in dirt, hands in the, if you have a garden, do some gardening. Mm. Oh, it'll make you feel great.
Can you describe more about the chakra system? Mm-hmm. And how do you know when a chakra is blocked?
Well, the chakra system is, there's seven main chakras, starting with here, your root chakra. And then like right below your belly button is your sacral. Here is your solar plex. You know, a lot of times when we get upset, right? Mm-hmm. This holds the emotions. Mm-hmm. Solar plex, heart, throat, third eye, and crown. Third eye and crown have to do more with your spirituality and connecting to whatever your source is. Mm-hmm. And so when they get blocked, or, you know, sometimes like your root can be blocked and you can have others that are open, but when your root is blocked, it's better, you're feeling better and lighter when everything is flowing. How to tell when you're at home? It's pretty hard, other than you probably won't feel well. Mm. But I use a pendulum, and it'll show me when I'm working on somebody, you know, how it's work, if your chakras. To do it at home, it's a little difficult. But people usually, when I have return clients, will say, yeah, I know, I've been meaning to call you because I haven't been feeling well. When you have a session, you know what it feels like when they're open, and then when they're closed, you know that there's a difference between the feelings.
Yeah.
So again, grounding can help open. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's somewhere in your area, I know, well, you know, before the pandemic, but lots of places were having sound therapy. It's great for opening up the chakras. Again, grounding yourself. You know, I really recommend like a Reiki session once or twice a year just to keep you open and flowing. And I always tell people, come on your birthday. If you're a difficult person to buy for, you know, tell your friends or family, you gift certificate, or at Christmas time. You know, just because we don't notice how bad we're feeling until our chakras get cleared out, and then we feel great again. And just really quickly, chakras are like these energy, almost like wheels in us that allow energy to come in and flow. So when they're blocked, there's a stoppage in our flow. And then certain chakras are matched with different emotions and different things, even different organs in our body. Like say you had a breakup. It's very common. You had a breakup. You come to me and your heart chakra is closed. So there's a correlation. So if we can open it, it doesn't mean that you're going to forget about the person or the love that you had for that person, but you're just not going to have that awful feeling of stuck and negative kind of heaviness. Yeah. You don't forget anything, but it just lightens it up and it really helps you move to the next step in your healing process.
Again, touching on the breakup component, I mean, yes, it'll remove that level of emotional, or not remove it, it'll just help cope with the emotional distress, yeah. And it'll allow us to experience a breakthrough or really move through the follow-up steps of letting go and really accepting the situation for what it is and not holding us in that distress that, right. You know, a lot of people really stay with that distress, right. Or the situation, right. And they can no longer, or their progression towards the next steps of life and happiness are delayed.
Yeah. And what I would say is that if you don't do some work around the breakup, a lot of times you end up having the similar thing happen in your next relationship. So oftentimes with the Reiki session, if you're ready, because again, I don't do it, it's between you and your higher power, but you start to see like, oh, I thought this person was the love of my life, but you know, I didn't like when he treated me like that. And sometimes we need to look at those things in order to create why I want someone who's kinder to me. I want someone who's more like, you know, he's not more into like clubbing and getting bottle service. I'm really like camping and just kind of like, I'm more of a natural person. Or it starts to help you weed out what you don't want and start to create what you want in that next relationship so that you don't just have the same experience with just a different person because you're still the same as when you got in that other relationship.
That's how I sometimes see this level of work is, And part of it is, it is sometimes our very own bad habits that keeps us there. So it's identifying those habits that we kind of want to sort of let go of so that we can become that better version of ourselves. You touched on, again, how electric magnetic frequencies can really, you know, affect us, especially in the workplace or at home, or watching TV, et cetera. Okay, what are a couple of components that you recommend? You touched on a few, but is there like one or two? I know you have that bracelet. Uh-huh. What is that? Yeah, or what's the name of it that you can recommend for someone to have?
You know what? I don't know. Actually, a friend gave it to me, and I know that there's also magnets you can buy that I used to always lose them, but there's magnet you can hold on your person, keep it in your pocket or whatever. There's a crystal over there called black tourmaline. And it's in front. I used to have some when I worked in that office. I mean, we were just in a big conference room, right? And all that energy of all the computers plus all the people, everybody on phones, like it was, it was intense. It was intense. So I had black tourmaline like in front of my computer screens.
Yeah.
So black tourmaline, they have stuff like this, all over the place where, you know, for the electromagnetic field, because now, you know, with the 5G, I mean, it's getting even stronger. It's impossible to get away from, you know, those waves. And, you know, I mean, there's only so much that we can do, but little things that we do. And again, what we believe about it is also important. If I believe this is helping me a little bit, well, then it probably is, you
100%.
Know, whether it actually is or not, but because it's happening here. And then just a couple like things that I do personally, like I turn off my phone every night, like shut it off completely. Sometimes I leave it in the other room. I don't want to be sleeping near something. I know even if you put it on airplane mode or even if you put it on silent or whatever, if it's looking for the Wi-Fi, then it's still working, and you don't want to sleep with it under your pillow or even near your bed on a nightstand near your bed. So for me, I feel like I can feel it, and it could just be in my head, but I feel like a buzzing kind of, and I'm like, I just don't want this anywhere near my head while I'm sleeping. I don't need it there.
Rest is really one of the most important factors to our well-being. So by rest being disturbed or disrupted or interrupted by, you know, a mobile device, it really affects our day-to-day productivity. So it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And again, thanks for sharing those recommendations, especially, you know, black tourmaline and et cetera, because I think that we all need some form of leverage for navigating, you know, EMFs on a day-to-day. So Rachel, how important is it for us not to really focus on outcomes or trying to control situations? Does Reiki help in allowing individuals to let our lives unfold for the better, of course, instead of trying to attach to outcomes or situations?
I think it's important to focus on outcomes. But I think it's super important to enjoy the journey. I mean, for years, I wanted to live near the ocean. I would say my whole adult life. I vacationed out here. And when I came out here, it was very stressful for me. You know, I came out here to interview for a job, and there was a fire going on, and then I got the job. I had to figure out how to clear out this big house and sell it while learning a new job. And I was only able to give my work a week's notice. There was just all this stuff. And then I was here 2 weeks, and then the mudslide happened. And I was literally stuck here in my town. I couldn't go north and I couldn't go south. And then there was the whole thing of selling my house. I mean, there was just so much, and I was super, super stressed. And at the end of the day, like, now that I think about it, I think having a goal, having an outcome that you want to achieve is super important, because how are you going to know? Like, you need to have some direction. But also the points of that you go through, like, if we could be mindful and enjoy it. And for me, I made a lot of it very, very heavy. And, you know, that was 4.5, 5 years ago. And so I've had a lot of peaceful time here. And now, as situations come up for me, I'm like, okay, this too shall pass. It seems rough, but honestly, I go back to my divorce too, and I go, gosh, you thought that was the worst thing in the world. And now I think it's the best thing in the world for me. So it's kind of like, don't name something as bad or horrible, just kind of ride the wave and know that, you know, something is going to come. And the longer I stay away from the negative, the sooner the joy and the good parts show up. And I seem to be in that flow more often now. And that's what I've learned, you know, even, I mean, you know, in over 50 years, it's taken a long time. But if I can share that with people, like, enjoy the ride. And then when you get to the destination, you go, oh, wow, like, I did it. Like, here I am. It's sweeter because it wasn't all like a misery getting here.
What do you recommend for someone just seeking out to really just continue to improve themselves or embark on that journey of continuous improvement, which, you know, we now know as of the Kaizen method?
We're all where we're supposed to be. And sometimes that our culture comes in, right, and always says, well, like, we have to, you know, I wouldn't say improve, because I really believe that wherever we are, that's where we're supposed to be. I would use more the word unfold, right? Like, what's the next thing? And so number one, I would say to be gentle with yourself. Like, we're so self-critical. I mean, I know that from my own experience, and then from my clients and people that I speak with. Like, it's, we're our worst critic. We're so mean to ourselves. You're not going to know you're doing it if you don't know that that's what most of us do. So be kind to yourself. And then number two, you know, it's like, you don't always have to be bigger to be better. Sometimes you can just take a detour. You know, your life is yourself, your own. I mean, many years ago, I used to have a scholarship, and I started the scholarship in my mom's name. And I had this friend, and she's like, well, you should become a 501c, and you should be doing this, and you should be doing that. And all of a sudden, you know, I was all nervous. And I had that scholarship for 10 years. You know, I ran it myself. My family would go and interview the candidates, and we helped a lot of families. And I took a step back, and I thought, you know, not to criticize my friend, but I'm like, well, where's your scholarship? It's easy for you to tell me I should become a 501c or that I should do this or I should do that. But that didn't speak to me. You know, it was something that it was a memorial to my mother. And I wasn't interested in it sometimes people think like, oh, you know, you got to be the next Oprah. Like, not everybody's Oprah. Oprah is Oprah. But sometimes being kind to one person, or, you know, like Mother Teresa used to say, you know, she does small acts of kindness one at a time. I would just say to go within and be quiet and really figure out, is this something that you really want to do? Do you want to be the CEO of a company? If you do, power to you. But if you're happy with your job, you know, then stay with your job. There's nothing wrong with that. We have to get out of what our society tells us we should be doing to what speaks to us. And it changes. Sometimes I was very ambitious. And then, you know, sometimes you have kids and stuff. You go, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be at home with my kids. Perfectly fine. You do you is what I would say.
So, Rachel, if you can list a few benefits, and I know we've discussed this earlier, but if you can list some benefits that really clients go home with when they experience a Reiki session.
Number one, I'd say it's a huge stress reliever. It's great for pain, if you were experiencing pain. Great for focus, just total relaxation. It's great for creativity, because a lot of times it clears out the clutter in your mind, and then what you always wanted to do or were meant to do just kind of bubbles up. It just puts you in a different place. It just kind of clears out the muck and leaves you with the good stuff.
Excellent answer. And yeah. I think that's been my experience with receiving, you know, Reiki sessions. Again, it's not only diminished some of that emotional distress, but it's also removed whatever existing muck that, you know, that surrounds my energy orbit and allows me to remove that mental haze to really see things clearly. And of course, I've gone through some physical trauma as well along my life's journey. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely do feel the benefits and the positive outcomes of receiving a Reiki session. So again, so this not only helps with emotional distress, psychological distress, and really lifting that mental haze cloudy judgments or whatever the case is, but it also helps with physical trauma. If you can maybe give us a breakdown of the benefits of Reiki for people who experience injuries, such as athletes. Do you think that it's, you know, beyond beneficial for athletes to receive Reiki?
The one that comes to mind is like, you know, broken bones. And this person was a physical therapist and a massage therapist. Mm-hmm. And he broke his wrist and was afraid of losing range of motion. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't want to be operated on. And he came for sessions, for about 6 sessions. And he didn't have to have the surgery. So, you know, whatever you're willing to let go. So, it's great. I've worked on people that have had, you know, surgeries, and right after surgery, they no longer have to take pain medicine. Even distance work. I worked on a gentleman who dropped something on his foot and it shattered his foot, didn't want surgery. And so he and his wife were very prayerful. They prayed, and I sent energy, and, you know, they put a cast on him. And when he went back to the doctor took off the cast and said, "What did you do?" So, I mean, it's just, it's amazing, because it's between you and your higher power. And really, whatever you're willing to let go of. Fatty liver, I've worked on people, and it's like all of a sudden it's gone. These diagnoses that people had with a little bit of work, because a lot of it is, you know, sometimes you get a diagnosis, and then because the doctor told you, you believe it and you put it in your brain and you take on the label. Oh, I can't do that. I'm a diabetic. Oh, I can't do that because I have arthritis. But it's like, if you believe, you could still have arthritis, but still you can move. And I mean, Reiki is great for stuff like that because it also clears out the mind of the beliefs that no longer serve you.
Excellent, which brings me to my next question. You know, what are some of the best practices, again, besides, you know, receiving Reiki that will help you stay in the moment? And I know you mentioned keeping ground, but really what is that good practice to keep you engaged in the present moment so we're not thinking about the past nor the future?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, you know. I would say, you know, meditation, and I'd like to talk a little bit about meditation because I lead a meditation class twice a week here, and it's not always the same. We do a little bit of stretching. So, you know, meditation for you can be doing yoga or Tai Chi or Qigong or even walking or running or whatever. It's whatever works for you that stops your mind from going down that negative rabbit hole. So, you know, sometimes when we meditate outside at the salt marsh, which is beautiful. There's a bunch of birds. It's a half a block from the ocean. So sometimes we can hear the waves breaking. Sometimes there's these beautiful birds that come flying in, giant herons and stuff. And it's like, that's meditation, looking at the birds, because you're enjoying the birds. You're enjoying the beauty of nature. And it doesn't mean that, oh, you know, you're sitting there with just the traditional, like clearing out your brain. Yeah. I believe meditation is just not letting your mind go into that overthinking and the to-do list. And it can be music. For me, sometimes I start singing the song, listening to the lyrics, and I get lost. You know, it could be playing the piano. You know, I used to play the piano a little bit when my kids were small. And then, you know, I had a class coming up, so I'd be practicing. I'm, oh my gosh, an hour went by because I was so concentrated on what I was doing. So meditate, have that quiet time. You know, some people like saying the rosary, you know, just that quiet time. There's so much out there too, you know, meditations on your phone, little 10 or 15 minutes every morning, set the tone for your whole day.
So I know I talked about, you know, keeping us in the present moments. Now I'm going, and I talked about trying to avoid, you know, ruminating the past or worrying about the future. But really, now I'm going to touch on those topics themselves, Rachel. And I talk to my subjects about these questions. Mm-hmm. One, how do we stay in the present moment and establishing those practices so that we can really enjoy life better and say, oh, life is beautiful by staying in the present moment. And then I also follow up with saying, well, Rachel, if you can give some levels of advice, words of wisdom to your past selves, your past self, what would that be? Or really that other version of yourself that lived in the past. If you can give that person some words of wisdom, some advice or anything you'd like to say, what would that be?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I would tell that person, that younger me, like, God, just relax. Chill out, like everything's gonna be fine. I would go from A to Z, you know, and in between there's all these other letters in between that I was just you know, a lot of perfectionism, a lot of my poor son, right? I mean, he'd have a list of chores and, you know, he did 9 of them, but he didn't do that one last one, and then that would be the focus, you know. And it's like, gosh, like, but that's where I was back then. You know, I didn't know any better. I was a young mom, and, you know, you do the best you could at the time. Yeah, where I am now, it's like, gosh, just enjoy. There's so much beauty everywhere, you know, and so many things that we have and so many wonderful people in the world, and, you know, relish your relationships and stuff like that. And and your friendships and the good in life, the things that please you, you know, and just minimize the things that went wrong. Yeah, I think that's what I would say to myself. Just relax, have fun.
And so now, looking forward, looking ahead, is there anything that like you'd like to tell your future version?
I hope you enjoyed the ride. You know, I mean, from here on out, I feel just so lucky and grateful every single day of all the goodness that's around me. I mean, you know, just stepping outside. I'm a nature person. There's so many trees here, the ocean, you know, so many hiking trails, flowers. I think maybe because of where we live, right? People are a lot of good people here. We live by the beach. Like, you know, it really is kind of that hang loose kind of, you know, surfer kind of mentality. So, I'm just enjoying it. And so wherever I'm led next, I'm just like, I hope it was a good ride, you know? I hope you enjoyed it because it was good.
So Rachel, again, not to be future focused and worrying about the future, but be more so forward looking. Mm-hmm. What's next for Reiki by Rachel, Be the Lotus?
You know, I think more of the same. I mean, I know that this was what I was, you know, meant to do. Just from reaction that I get from my clients to see people, you know, really come out the other side and be so grateful that they let go of stuff that doesn't serve them anymore. And, you know, just having more clients, you know, maybe teaching more students. I mean, I do teach Reiki. Just having people experience life the way that, you know, I do and my children do, of like, you know, our happiness is our responsibility. And so if a Reiki session is going to help you, you know, let go of some of that stuff to get you to the place where you're living that life of whatever it is you want, and I can assist you, to me it's a privilege. The ripple effect, right? Like, I worked on you, and here you are putting together this YouTube, you know, video and podcast to let other people know that this is something that's available, you know, and that, you know, if it's helpful, if it's something that calls to you. So that was by me just being available to you and us meeting and us having this connection that we had, you know, and I treasure our relationship. You know, what if that happened? So now you're going to touch other people with this video, and then, you know, and their ripple effect and their ripple effect. And what if the world ran that way, of just more goodness instead of the negativity and the fear and the, you know, just the, you know, the yucky stuff? Let's put more good out there.
So Rachel, if you would like to recommend to our audience any books, films, music, I mean, any level of resource that has benefited you in your life's journey, or that can be of use to our audience or learners or listeners, watchers, whatever the case is, someone that's looking for a piece of gem that will change their day-to-day life's activities.
I mean, I would say whatever, you know, calls to you, but some of the things that have had a huge impact on my life is, you know, I used to go to the Agape International Spiritual Center. Mm-hmm. When it was in Culver City, Reverend Michael Beckwith is just, oh my gosh, he's just wonderful. And the love that he puts out in the world, I would highly recommend him. A couple doctors that I follow Dr. Deepak Chopra and Dr. Bruce Lipton, because they're medical doctors. But they also believe that spirituality and this kind of energy work is actually very helpful. And also Dr. Mario Martinez, who is a neuroscientist, and he's, you know, studies people that are over 100 years old. And he looks at what didn't work. He looks at what worked, not what didn't work. So quick examples, like somebody could be over 100 years old and they have no signs of dementia. And then when they pass away, you know, they do an autopsy on them, and it shows that they had all the physiology of dementia, but they didn't have the symptoms. That's how powerful the mind can be, right? Where we can have something, we can have a diagnosis, but that doesn't have to define our experience. So those are some of the teachers that have helped me. I mean, you know, movies, there's a movie out called Heal, and it's on, you know, healing yourself. Reverend Michael is in that one too. And, you know, The Secret, just as an introduction, I think that's a great place to start of like manifesting. You can manifest your health, you can manifest your finances, you can manifest anything you want in your life. It's a good starting point. Some good books like You Can Heal Your Life, which is like my Bible, by Louise Hay, who's just a master. And you know, once you start and you get a little bit, other things will start showing up and you'll be called to whatever your next step is. But I think that's a good starting point.
Very nice. Yeah, I think those are all great pieces of work. I'm actually familiar with, you know, a few of those items and of course, doctors. So thanks for sharing that with our grander audience, Rachel.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I think definitely if the more people leverage this type of work and information and just people really sharing wealth of knowledge when it comes to healing and improving oneself or allowing oneself to let life unfold for itself naturally, I think the better it is for people's life experience to go into work. And really, I think we'll become more joyful in general. Excellent. So Rachel, tell us, where can people find you, your work? How can people get in touch with you? Is there a website or you know, anything that you'd like to share with the audience so that they can get in touch with you and possibly book a session or possibly, you know, perhaps take a class of yours so that they can one day become practitioners and pay it forward to a community?
You can find me on my Yelp page. It's Reiki by Rachel in Summerland. And I have a website. It's www.bethelotus, all lowercase. I don't think it matters, but Be the Lotus, as we talked about earlier. And I mean, I've met people from all over the place because of where I am. You know, people that come visit here, sometimes they have sessions, and then every time they come out, I have a lady from New Jersey that vacations here a couple times a year, and every time she comes out. So, you know, it's have people coming in from LA and stuff. So that's a way to find me. And I'm happy to meet and talk with people, and you can reach me. My email, my phone number is on there, and that's best ways to reach me.
So Rachel, anything else that you'd like to share with our grander audience?
Just to wrap up everything, you know, I would say that if you're struggling, that's not our natural state. We're supposed to, when we're little babies, we're born, we're happy playing with our feet, we're happy. And, you know, as we get older, something happens and then the struggle kicks in. So if you find yourself struggling, just know that there's things out there that can help you get past the struggle. And to struggle is not our natural way of being. We're all made of love. And I think that, you know, if we're struggling, we're not loving ourselves. So find that thing that's going to remind you that, you know, we're all made in the image of God. And you should love yourself. It's very important.